What's going on? Hi everyone, my name's Mike. If I haven't met you, I'm one of the pastors here. I hope your experience today of church is a little bit like Audi. Good, different. It'll stick. I just want to acknowledge, if you see a whiteboard and you hear about sharing and reflection, at least half of us are really stressed and actually want to run out of the room. So I just want to acknowledge the introverts amongst us and assure you and myself, I'm also an introvert, that actually it's challenged by choice. And I'm not going to ask you to say anything to anyone unless you want to. I'll give you plenty of time for reflection yourself and plenty of time for sharing if you want to. So I just want to start by saying that. But today will be good and today will be different. So let's step into that space and see what it looks like. The purpose of today is to really reflect on the last term. Since the end of July, we've been doing a series called Practicing the Way. If you're here for the first time today, I've met some people that are, welcome. Wherever you're at in following Jesus with Practicing the Way, you're most welcome here. What we've been looking at this term is basically three things. How can we be with Jesus? How can we become like Jesus? And how can we do the works of Jesus? So the purpose of today is to think back, what have we discovered, to hear from one another, but also really, I don't just want to be looking back. I want to be able to encourage us to take a step forward. My wife Fiona said to me yesterday, you really like a good framework, don't you? And like full transparency, I'm a sucker for a good framework. So we've been talking about a picture this series that we've called the Transformation Framework. We've been using a pyramid to think about how do we actually receive good teaching from the Bible around the good life of living with Jesus. And we've thought about, what does it actually mean to put these things into practice? We've thought about, hey, how can we be a Christ-centered community? It's a core part of our vision. That's how we believe we'll see lives transformed, by being a Christ-centered community. But all of this is just a trellis, because the real work is actually through allowing the Holy Spirit to transform and change us. That's what we've been looking at. We've also offered a bunch of midweek workshops. You can see a whole list of them there. We've looked at a lot of scripture. This is just a bit of a prompt, a bit of a visual summary of just some of the passages we've looked at and the 15 different workshops we've offered this term. Quite a term, eh? I know some of you have been fully engaged, some of you have just been tapping in and out, and wherever, we hope today is encouraging for you. So I love a good framework and I love a good quadrant. So today I just want to start by sharing a quadrant that might be helpful for you to think about maybe where you're at in practicing the way of Jesus. So the Bible reading for today is, come follow me. Jesus said that. Matthew 4 and a lot of other places recorded in the Gospels. If your experience of following Jesus, if your experience of following Jesus is just hearing follow, then probably you're feeling a bit stressed. Maybe that's your experience, and I reckon we've probably got all four quadrants represented here today. If your experience of following Jesus is just come, but not follow, maybe that's even your experience of church. I'll just come to church, and I know I did that for 22 years, and it's possible just to come and not follow. Chances are you'll be pretty comfortable. But is that actually the fullness of Jesus' invitation here? If you're not coming to Jesus, and if you're not following Jesus, chances are right now, you are bored. I acknowledge that and welcome. But can I suggest also that actually there's something more going on? You are, in the language of Romans 12, you are just conforming. We've looked at what does it actually mean to be intentional in our spiritual formation and unintentional in our spiritual formation. If we just wake up and you just be you and go on your day, you are being formed, but you're actually being conformed to the pattern of this world. And there's a place for you in church all the time. You're most welcome, but not everyone will be hearing the invitation to come and follow. So the question is, how do we move from being bored and conforming or stressed, and that's a real lived experience for a lot of us, or comfortable, to this quadrant, which I want to suggest is actually the quadrant of being transformed. Or, sorry, not a teacher. this bad handwriting, to actually become like Jesus. What does it actually mean to step into this space? And that's a challenge for some of us to think about. How do we move from this comfortable space that maybe we've been in for 6 months, maybe for 6 years, maybe for 60 years, or this stress space that maybe we've been in for just a period of time, or maybe all of our life, or maybe this bored space. So rather than me sharing anything today, anything more today, we have a surprise group of preachers coming later on. They will be sharing for 3 minutes in the quietest, shortest sermon of all time. I just want to give you a heads up about that. But before that, we've got people who will be coming to share, not quietly. They will be using the microphone. And I've invited a random sample of people from our church. And the way I've done this is all of these workshops that have been offered have actually been offered by people from the church. We've had 40 different evenings of workshops. Each of these were offered 3 or 4 times. Out of those 40 different evenings, people who are not on staff here at the church led 35 of them. Isn't that amazing? That just gives me huge confidence for our way ahead. Whatever the process for pastoral search and everything else is, we are a community, we are a body where everyone steps up and plays their part. So thank you so much. So I wanted to honor those facilitators by starting. I just invited a couple of them, tapped them on the shoulder. No one's really jumping forward to share from the front, are they? It's never anything. So I'd love to invite Joe. First, and a special thanks to Joe. He's not just representing one of the facilitators, he's representing our awesome audiovisual team who enable church to happen. So thank you so much, Joe. So I've asked each of these friends to share for a couple of minutes to help us hear a bit of their story. And as we listen to that, I want to just challenge you to think about, well, where are you sitting around this? And then we're going to have a time to reflect back on some of the things that you've been reflecting on and learning. I'm going to use Padlet, so you can just sit there and type if you prefer, or group discussion. So again, just reduce the stress index. It's an invitation to come and follow Jesus. So let's hear some of Jesus.
Thanks, Mike. I had the wonderful privilege to facilitate one of the workshops on grief and loss. The first challenge was the title of the workshop, Mike, that said Embracing Grief and Loss. Now, if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, right, embracing is an act of accepting something willingly or enthusiastically, and even to hold closely in one's arms. Really? Can we do that with grief and loss? You know, when we think of grief and loss, the first thing I think that normally comes to mind would be losing a loved one who would pass away. And one of my amazing clients saw me about a year ago. She was a 75-year-old woman who had known her husband for 50 years, and he then passed away. And she looked at me and in tears said, "Joe, I lost a part of me. In fact, it feels like I lost half of me." And for the first time, really, the two will become one really hit home for me. How do we embrace that? Well, we've got a wonderful example in Paul. I'm reading from the Message, and this is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 5. Paul says, "For instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God-made, not handmade, and we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack. And we're tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. It puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we will never settle for less." Isn't that amazing? How amazing to have God and to be His children. However, when we grieve, we do experience symptoms that a person would experience that suffer from depression. So there's crying and this feeling really low and low motivation and low energy and just wanting to withdraw. But hey, isn't it amazing that even though that sounds not good, it is actually good when we are grieving a loss. And we do that for a time, and then amazingly, time do heal the wounds of grief and loss. In my own life, my wife, Karen, and our three kids, we immigrated to Australia 20 years ago, and we were really looking forward to this. This was a time of renewal and of regeneration, and to our shock and surprise, when we came here, even though we chose a country that seemingly had the same weather than South Africa, I can see South Africans saying, yes, Joe, yes. Hey, what does 2P mean? And 3P for that matter, you know? What about green slip, pink slip, and blue slip, and so the slips go on? What is a roundabout? Can't you just call it a traffic circle? That's the proper name for the thing, you know? And what about traffic lights? They actually call robots. And then for a South African, this was my best one. Someone asked me for a coffee. We didn't have coffee shops in South Africa then. And he asked me whether I want a long black or a flat white. Now, that of itself was a little bit strange coming from South Africa. And I didn't know what to answer. But now I love my long blacks and my flat white. Yeah, I can still remember asking a cab driver to turn right at the robot and stop just before the lorry. And he looked at me as if I'd completely lost my mind. Okay, now we've embraced, really embraced, this wonderful new country. And it's been absolutely awesome. Just a little story to end off. I love stories. And you can even close your eyes for this one if you want. But let's consider for a moment a kernel of corn or kernel of wheat. And that little kernel is an amazing community with thousands, if not millions, of its brothers and sisters. And suddenly it is yanked from that community and put in a very dark and lonely place. Not only is it dark and lonely and wet, but this poor kernel suddenly discovered that I'm changing. I'm changing in appearance. In actual fact, my skin is broken down. To me, that sounds like a painful process. But we know that amazingly, within God's design, this breaking down of the kernel prepares it for what it is going to become. An amazing plant, producing, is it hundreds or thousands? I know, I'm not a farmer, but a lot of its kind, who in themselves can then be the fruit to bear more fruit. So in my experience, in my own testimony, and what I can see is that we can indeed embrace grief and loss, because with God and with the Holy Spirit and within who we are as human beings, we can grow as a result. Thanks, Mike.
Wow, thank you so much, Joe. We hadn't planned, I hadn't shared with Joe this picture, but I think what he's sharing is this picture of transformation. It's not comfortable, that idea of transition and change, whether it's in a family circumstance or moving cultures, or even as a church right now for us, isn't it? Having said goodbye to Andrew, there's a journey of following Jesus that involves transformation. Thank you so much, Joe. Just a beautiful reflection. Let's hear from a completely different voice from our community. Up there at the back with lots of children on the ground. Ellie, can you please come up? Welcome. So Ellie and Ben led a couple of workshops together. So thanks so much, Ellie.
Hello. I'm going to read mine because I do not like talking.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, so we ran the prayer and identity workshops, and we really wanted to share from those in those, because that's what God's really been teaching us in our own lives. It's kind of this past year. The main thing God's been revealing to me most clearly through this series is that knowing our identity and spending time with Jesus is at the core of everything. Being with Jesus through prayer and listening to his voice and his word is where transformation actually happens. And spending time in prayer and communion with him and listening to his voice is where he speaks over us who we are. I've been so convicted recently that my life looks the same as so many people who don't know Jesus. There are so many wonderful people who do wonderful things who don't know God, and my life just follows the same patterns and trajectory as theirs. I've been challenged that if I claim to follow Jesus, I should be living as he lived, and Jesus changed every atmosphere that he was in. So really, my life should look the same as that. Walking as Jesus walked is a command that he gives us, which means it's possible because he doesn't call us to something grace can't empower us to be. So I've been learning the importance of spending time in his presence to get to know him, not just to know about him or get something from him, but to really know him. He tells us that eternal life is to know him. So spending time with him in his presence, that's where I learned to die to who I was and where he can come alive in me. It's where we learn who we are and why we're here. He says, now that we are in Christ, we're a new creation, old things have passed away. Everything I ever was and did before him has been nullified. It's gone and all things have become new. He's made us holy, blameless, and above reproach. And when I start to actually understand that and believe that, his grace empowers me to become all that he paid for and changes my life. His grace makes us what we could never become on our own. When he says, follow me, that means it's possible to live how he lived. If we spend time with him, he says we will become like him. We will start to see like he sees and respond to life and circumstances like he responds. And it excites me that we can go through whatever comes in life and not be shaken by it. I think in a nutshell, he's revealed to me that I'm not a follower of Jesus just to have a better day and go to heaven when I die. My purpose is way bigger than that. It's to be filled with the fullness of God and walk like Jesus walked. And we become like the ones we spend time with. So we become like Jesus when we spend time with him in prayer and in his presence.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Ellie. Getting to know Ben and Ellie a little bit, really hearing that invitation of Jesus is not just to be with him forever in eternal life, but to live life and live life to the full now in Christ. And so thanks so much for sharing that, Ellie. That's beautiful. I really encourage you to chat to the people that are sharing after the service. My goal is less of us as pastors and staff and more of the community, and the more different voices we can hear, the better. Joe and Ellie have referred to some of these workshops that they've facilitated. All of those resources, Debbie's done an incredible job this week figuring out how to use our website and put all of these workshop materials on the website. So you can dig into any of these things that get, you think, wow, here's some holiday reading. there's heaps of stuff there. So yeah, thanks, Deb. That's just awesome. It's amazing wherever she is. Tim, let's hear from a different voice. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. And thanks, everyone. Thank you particularly for the two people who've shared so far. I found that really encouraging. So I found the whole series really encouraging, and I've probably been one of the people who've dipped in and out just because of my life circumstance at the moment. But when I dipped in, I really dipped in. And I actually led a seminar on fasting. And we had an amazing group of about 10 or 12 people from this service, other services, a really great mix of people. We talked, we prayed, we ate chocolate, which I brought along to say, well, fasting, yes, it's definitely about food, but it's also not just about food. I found it really encouraging, such that afterwards that a few of us made commitments to actually go away and do a fast. And there was a small group of guys who I fasted with after that, and we're planning to do that regularly or semi-regularly. It was tough. Fasting is not comfy. We looked at three passages. We looked at Matthew 6, 16 to 18, where Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount about fasting. We looked at Galatians 5:13-26, where it talked about how we're free not to indulge the flesh, but to serve each other humbly in love. And we also looked at Matthew 4, and in verse 2, Jesus, when he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, it says, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And certainly, when I fasted, I was very hungry. I'll be quite honest, it's tough, but it's radical. And what it's about is actually doing these things. So being with Jesus, the primary one there. And when Jesus is actually out there, he gets challenged and tested. But he says, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, quoting Deuteronomy. And so I just thought I'd just very quickly run through just a couple of points that we learned, that fasting is about starving the flesh to feed the spirit. It fuels our prayer or our Bible reading or whatever brings us nearer to God. We can do it to stand in solidarity with the poor and people who don't have, let's face it, we often can just choose whatever food we want, but many people can't. And the other thing about fasting is not so much the what it is and the challenge of the food and things like that, or the drink or whatever you choose to do, but it's actually an example of something that I found useful through this whole series and through the materials as well, about how it's about being very intentional and being intentional about the relationship that you have. And so actually putting some time aside to deliberately do it, whether it is, whether it's fasting or one of the other spiritual disciplines. So, yeah, I'd love to talk about it. I'm definitely not an expert on fasting, and you just have to do fasting once to realise you're not an expert on it. It's tough. But I think I was very encouraged by the community here in how we went about it, and particularly in that session. So thanks for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Tim. Having been blessed to live in both the East and the West, I want to say the biggest blind spot of the Western Church is a practice of fasting and the importance of fasting, not just individually, but in community. So, Tim, I love how you're challenging us to actually do that together and a group of people together. So let's keep that conversation going. Heaps of resources there. I hope that's just been a little taste. Now I want to shift into a bit of a different zone. For the next 10 minutes or so, I want you to reflect by yourself. If you want to stay in that space, reflecting by yourself, great. That's awesome. But this is always, I always wonder, whenever we gather, what's the opportunity that we can do together that we cannot do alone? And so that's certainly listening to others. It's hard to do that alone. But also sharing with one another. So if you feel comfortable, I encourage you to share. This next slide, Joe, can you just move that forward for me? It's not working. Actually has a QR code to a Padlet. And so I encourage you to first reflect, to spend a bit of time reflecting. You'll see a lot of different comments there that people have already posted. You can actually like different comments. My 96-year-old granny said to me yesterday, if you just wait around, everyone's got a machine. Someone around you has a machine. So I'm not asking you to go on here if you're not comfortable using machines. That's fine. Someone around you is going to have one. You can tell them what you think and they can type your comment in. So that person doesn't even have to share. You can just listen to someone else. So you can throw a few comments in there. But while we do that and while we discuss as a group, Carol's going to take the kids out for a few minutes. So kids, I'm so encouraged that you've been able to hear a few stories from adults practicing the way. And we look forward to hearing some of your stories too at home. And maybe later on. Let's see. So go for it. 10 minutes, it's your time to use as you like. So the idea here is, how has God encouraged you during this series? Or maybe it's your first day and you've just heard something someone shared already today. That's enough. How's God encouraged you through that? Okay, so you might just need to turn or reflect, but why don't you spend a minute or two just reflecting first, and then I'll encourage us to share. Thank you. If you're not sure how to post a message on Padlet, there's a little pink cross down the bottom. You just click on that and you can type. Don't stress if the QR code's gone. The more important thing now is to actually talk to each other. And so there's a couple of... If you've still got it open, feel free to type a comment. You'll see it come up. Well, isn't it magic? It's amazing. So these are comments that people are writing. So you can be encouraged by what others are saying or listen to the people around you. In 2 minutes, I'm going to invite anyone that would like to share. I can either bring the microphone to you or you're welcome to come up here if you would like to share just one or two things that have encouraged you. A few super quick comments. Is anyone else willing to share? Say your name and one thing that's encouraged you. I'll bring the microphone to you so you don't need to. Thanks, Gideon.
In our house group, we found the message of radical hospitality to really resonate with us, which is a really great excuse for history to insist on us getting a larger dining room table
so
that we
could
fit
nice.
More people at said table. So after 17 stores and 4 Saturdays of trawling, we finally found a table that would fit in.
Wow, it took action.
Yeah. And we just invited our house group over as a first kind of radical hospitality lunch and just had a potluck lunch together, and it was just awesome. So radical hospitality, I mean... Eating and drinking, I can do that.
Yeah,
I can get
do that well. Yeah. And if anyone would like this afternoon to gather, we're going actually to the Blue Gum. A lot of people after the 4 o'clock service are probably around 6 o'clock, I guess. You're more than welcome to come up to the Blue Gum at Waitara. Anyone else?
Can I sit?
Yes, please.
I actually did the, was it Solitude? Yep.
Silence and Solitude?
Yeah, thank you. I need that cues. Yep. And Silence. And I don't know about everyone here, but life is, even at a senior age, is so busy and hectic. Mm. And even in a church community where you may be caring for people because you want to serve Jesus that way, your mind just, I don't know. So for me, that was so helpful because it gave me the tools, which is transforming me, to come into God's presence and have that peace and that solitude, even if it's for 5 minutes, which is a long time. But it was really helpful to lead me into my with my quiet time and my day. And when I find that I haven't done it, I think, hang on, what's the problem with me this morning or today as I'm driving in my car? And that's usually that I haven't had that time. So I'm very grateful
that's
for that.
That's beautiful.
And thank
you
God.
Thank you for that encouragement. I really encourage you to think about silence and solitude and Sabbath rest. That's personally been transforming for me, something I honestly have not practiced for years. The last few months I've been learning how to practice the Sabbath rest, the stop, the delighting in God, the actual rest that leads to worship. It's different to just taking a day off. And same thing as silence and solitude. It's different to just stopping. It's actually, how do we live this unhurried life, the lifestyle of Jesus? Thank you. Anyone else willing to share? Thanks, Nadia. Yeah, please.
I just want to thank the church and all that partaked in the nights for their beautiful witnessing and giving glory to God for all they did to partake in TCB's witness in the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's a beautiful community-based church, and I want to give God the glory for all the beauty and understanding that they had for the people of TCBC.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Nadia. Hasn't it been beautiful to meet as an intergenerational community? That's been really refreshing, just to come together in the life groups, learning from one another, regardless of our age and our background. It's been great. One or two more thoughts? Thank you, Asita.
Hi, I'm Asita. I must say, even at this particular point in time, as we are sitting in this church, I could see we're being transformed because I have never seen so many people using their mobile phones during a sermon.
It's not necessarily a good thing.
But it is proactive. And one thing I have learned from this practicing the way is I am most humbled by the sharing that I have heard from a lot of people within our online community and as well as, you know, one-on-one. I'm actually most grateful for the guidance in the notes, especially highlighting the what as well as the how. Mm. I'm very much a solitude learner, so I like to reflect on things, and I intend to go back on the notes and look at them and study them.
Thank you, Asita. That's a great encouragement. Thank you. Can I just mention on the notes that you can download, there are also links. You can use a QR code or just click on it to listen to some talks related to that. So not just reading, but some of us are more walking and listeners, so you can listen to some podcasts or talks there. Anyone else? Ooh, thanks, Lara.
Just two quick basic things that have really challenged me is that just the idea that we are always in the presence of Jesus. So we don't need to come here. We don't need to do anything special. He is with us. And just being aware of that in our day-to-day, something so simple but has been really helpful to me. And the other thing has been that encouragement to just start where you're at, you know. If practicing a whole day of the Sabbath just doesn't fit into your schedule, find an hour, you know. If half an hour of silence and solitude is not achievable, 5 minutes, you know, just doing something is huge. So
that's a huge encouragement, Lauren. I really think that's the invitation, isn't it, from Jesus, to come and follow me wherever you're at, whoever you are. Let's just take a step. Transformation is a lifelong journey, not something we experience in a 9-week series. We can be sure of that. So this is a journey for us to continue as a church. Now the highlight of today, Joe, is it all right if you flick back to the slides? There's one verse that's really been heavy on my heart, heavy in terms of meditating on it throughout the series. I feel like it ties everything together. The verse is Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9. And so I've color-coded it because I'm a visual learner. You might have guessed that. So you can actually see here, I feel like it just talks every bit. Finally, brothers and sisters, let's be a Christ-centered community. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is the invitation to be transformed, be renewed through good teaching and reflecting on that good teaching. Then whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Paul's saying the same thing that Jesus said. Whatever you've heard, actually, don't just hear it. Be doers of the word and put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. This is our testimony that the Holy Spirit, for all who seek to follow Jesus, is in us, dwelling in us, changing and transforming us. Not really from our work at all. We're partnering with God, but God is doing the work of transformation. Now the highlight of today, to finish, I'd like to welcome our guest preachers in. Come on in, kids. If you can sit in the middle at the front. The kids are going to do something super special that they've been practicing all term, and Carol's going to lead us through that.
We've actually got permission to stand at the
front. Oh, okay. Even better.
So we're going to stand along here. Come all the way over, Reuben. That's it. So we've got a few. We've been learning this memory verse in Auslan signs. Come over here, Millie. And Izzy and Lexi and Eden. We've even got some new people who have learnt it today.
Wow.
So we're going to... Sorry, I thought you were saying something. We're going to show you a few signs so that you understand what we're doing first. So when we say God, can you show us God? So this is the sign for God. And when we say the God of peace will be with you, we're going to do this sign, which actually is the sign for together, because God is together with us. The other little thing we've added is always at the end, because as we were doing this with the children, we're signing it through, and one of the children actually said to me, Carol, can we add always to the end of this word, because God is with us always. So this is the sign for future. So that's what we've added to the end of this verse. So let us teach you about what it means to be practicing the way. Have we got our hands ready? And our big voices? All right. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Big voices. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you always. Philippians 4 verse 8. Good job. Well done. Thank you, Toby.
That was amazing. How about a challenge for the week? If the kids can teach the families that around the dinner table, I think we'll be doing pretty well as a community. Thanks, Luke and team. Thank you.
This song follows on a similar vein, just a praise back to God to say you are good, you are love, you are light, you are hope, all those good things. Let's think about the things that are excellent and right and just spend a few minutes reflecting on that. So, yeah, feel free to stand, sit, reflect, whatever you'd like to do.
Nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin.